Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 16th, 2022. I'm your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello.
How are you, Gordon?
I'm all right. Good. How are you?
Fine. Yeah. Good weekend. We're doing A-OK. Unfortunately, last week's guest, Dave Greenfield, cannot join us this week. He's had a close bereavement in the family, so our thoughts are with Dave, and we'll hear back from him soon enough. But we do have his results to go through from last week. Let's do it at the beginning of the show, seeing as Dave can't be with us this week. We've got next week's guest, Jerome Els. How are you doing, Jerome?
I'm good. Ready to put the disappointment from personal into positive this week. But hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, very, very, very pleased to have you. Thank you very much for coming back on the show. And we'll hear a lot more from you after the ad break in the second half. But before that, Gordon and I have some business to attend to with last week's results. My banker, Jesus Christ, what a banker this turned out to be. An away win or a draw for Chelsea away at Southampton was 1-4. They won this 6-0 after being 4-0 up at halftime. Just as well, I was on that double chance.
Ah, you really took that draw out of yeah, you could have had done that nice Chelsea when it was 3-5 or something. Was that
much more than that?
Was it really higher than that? I suppose they played Real Madrid.
It's closer to evens. So I just thought 1-4 was massive for something that was pretty much a certainty, and as it turns out, it was an absolute certainty. So
I messaged you, didn't I, saying I couldn't believe that it's 1-4.
It was 1-4. You were like, yeah,
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
that's free money. They're just giving away money.
They were just absolutely giving away money. As it turns out, they were giving away money just straight up on the Chelsea win. But for banker purposes, to lock one up, that was a good job. Gordon?
I was first pick of the week. Friday, I had Stuttgart Dortmund over 0.5 first half goals. This happened. 2-7. It happens every week. It'll be happening next week. You know what my pick's going to be already. So Andy, do you want to cover Dave's one, which he scraped in that boy. So he did.
I had a Wrexham win at home to Eastleigh. And Wrexham did win the game 3-2, but it took a 98th minute penalty winner for Wrexham in order to do it. But hey, it came in. The banker treble came in again. So we're continually hitting these banker trebles, which is wonderful. And hopefully we can keep that up for next week. On to the value picks. And my value pick was horrendous. It was Man United away at Everton. The away win was 3-4. And Man United could beat 1-0. I don't know what happened in the game because I was at the Grand National on Saturday, standing at Aintree, struggling to get phone signal, hearing on the grapevine that Everton were winning because obviously Aintree's down in Merseyside. And there were a lot of happy people. And also half of them were not happy being Liverpool fans, wanting to see Everton really struggle. So I thought Man United would be able to beat Everton. They couldn't.
Yeah, I watched and this still game.
That's a big ask that they didn't win because Everton are truly abysmal.
Oh, they're awful. Yeah. I watched the full game. It was like, if you told me both those teams were like 17th and 18th, I'd be like, yeah, that's what that is. It was.
And Rashford started that game on fire. He was dangerous in the first 20 minutes.
He did. And then he just ran out of steam. And then they replaced him and they brought on Sutter. It was a rubbish game of football, that. But yeah, I mean, congratulations to Everton there. Bucking the trend of being really shit to just go back to being just a bit shit. So yeah, my value wasn't much better. I had Mallorca versus Atletico Madrid. Mallorca won this game 1-0. Athletic Madrid played midweek, and that's one of the reasons my value this week is another side of this is because of what happened with that game. yeah, Madrid just didn't get the result, and a disappointing one in there. So, yeah, Dave's there, Andy.
Yeah, Dave's value pick came in if you use Bet365. Dundee United versus Dundee, took Dundee United in the Dundee Derby. They took a 2-0 lead, so Bet365 would have paid you out on that. But for everyone else, this bet ended up losing as the game finished 2-2. Dundee scoring twice in a minute to pull back the 2-0 deficit. So disappointing result for Dundee United, but fine for Dave, because he loves picking a Bet365 winner that ultimately doesn't come in.
Yeah.
No one likes Dundee United, do they? No one likes them, do they?
Everyone likes Dundee United.
I don't think Andy liked Dundee United very much on that day, though, I believe.
No, I'd backed him at Hills. So what a pain in the arse that was. As it turns out, a draw was fine for us. It meant it was the final fixture before the split, and we ended up staying in fourth position. So that's us made the top six. Job done. Premier League football next year. Let's see if we can get a European place out the remaining five games. It's possible.
If you do, I'm so jealous of you to be able to see European football. Oh, I'd give anything.
Is the FA Cup win or not?
Yeah,
going to...
We might do. We might do.
We might not end in there.
Two games.
It's all you need.
So that was the value picks. Dave doing the business, technically. On to the outsiders. My outsider was in Japan, took the high-flying Kashima Antlers at home to Yokohama F. Marinos. They lost this game. They lost it 3-0, but all the goals happened after the 82nd minute. This game was tight, as predicted. Kashima were 17-10 when we recorded the podcast last week, and in the hour before kickoff, they were 5-4.
Yeah, I took them at 6-5.
They just kept coming in. So I feel like I was on the right side of it. It wasn't a 3-0 game. The three goals all came in the last 10 minutes. Clearly, that game was going to hinge on who scored the opening goal, if there was going to be an opening goal, and it went the way of the F Marinos. But it's going to be a good season in the J League this year with Kashima, Yokohama F Marinos, and Kawasaki Frontale all looking pretty good. Those three sides will win their fair share of games this year. So yeah, no outsider win for me this week. I'd been on quite a run of outsiders, so it was disappointing. No,
I really like your pick this week though. So for your outsider. I'm looking forward to discussing it. My outsider was not much better. Whereas Andy got to until the 82nd minute to have a bit of fun with his. My game was done at halftime. Inter were 2-0 up against Verona. I had the X2 market, and I had as well taken the fucking 2 market for a price because it was nowhere near. Inter won this game 2-0. They were comfortable. They didn't. They were 35 minutes, they were up 2-0. There was no interest after that for them. They just shut down the game. No outsider for me this week. And then that leads us on to Dave's outsider.
So Dave's outsider, Dave went ambitious, really ambitious. He took Stoke, who were already an outsider, away at West Brom, and then added the caveat there would be under 2.5 goals. He shouldn't have done that. He should have kept it simple. Stoke won this game 3-1. So Stoke did win. And that would have been fine enough, as I think a 2-1 outsider it would have been. 10-3, over 3-1, that would have been just for a Stoke win.
Yeah,
For the outright win, 10-3.
I took the Stoke outright win. That was just part of the Mega Cup, and I was like, there's no way I'm turning down 10-3 in there for that.
It's a conversation I have with my best friend all the time. Don't get too fancy and add things that have to happen. It's hard enough picking winners, let alone
That's always something I say as well. I always go for don't bet on anything a team doesn't have to do.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't need to clear a -1 handicap. They don't need to be leading at halftime. In order for them to gain points, all they need to do is win the game.
Yep.
Because it will be,
and they'll do it in the most shithouse way possible.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what matters to them. So therefore, that's what should matter to you in the long run. It was a great pick for seeing the Stoke win, but he didn't get that enhanced 7-1 shout in. But I'm still going to give him credit for a Bet365 value winner, even though it lost elsewhere, and then a Stoke victory, even though he caveated it with somebody else getting greedy. So he's kind of having, on paper, potentially a 0 week, in those two slots, but you could make the argument.
There's some moral victories in there. Is that
you can make the argument there was there was certainly a Bet365 victory, and it was a victory for you not taking the underline as well. So a good pick. I think we can agree it was a good pick. On to the charity bet. And I was in Japan again for Hiroshima versus Avispa Fukuoka this time on the under 2.5 goal line. And this is just how Avispa Fukuoka play football. They limit the chances that their opponents have, and in doing so, limit the chances that they have as well. This flew in under 2.5 goals in total. It was a 1-0 win to Hiroshima, and that goal came in stoppage time. So this game was 0-0 when it ticked over the 90th minute. So that was a really easy charity win.
So in basically like the last 5-10 minutes, you've got like the early payout. You're just like, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, we're done.
There's not going to be three goals. Seriously, right, they'll feature in this week's picks, but they don't score and they don't concede. And they've had a whole host of 0-0 draws. They must be... It must be so boring to be a fan of theirs and attend the games.
Well, I mean, that leads me on rather nicely to my pick, which is boring, boring Bochum. This was, I had taken Leverkusen away at VfL Bochum. It was 0-0. Leverkusen missed a penalty in the 60th minute to bring my charity in. But outside of that, if you look at the stats for the game, you know, they both played a similar game of football. You know, goal attempts 11-9, shots and goals 2-2, shots off goal 9-7. It's not as if Leverkusen were all over them and they rewarded themselves with a penalty. Bochum are actually all right this season. And I mean, they're in 12th at the moment and nowhere near the relegation zone. So it's a decent result for them. Yeah, I'm disappointed in Leverkusen not being able to convert on that penalty. But on the balance of the game, they didn't really deserve anything out of it.
Mm. Another charity killer, G-Man. Good to see you doing your best for charity.
Yeah, good to be back. Good to be back.
And you'll be backing it again
this week.
You'll be backing it again this week.
Great fun. That's always another, a nice tenner into the mincer.
Another W for me and another big L for you. Dave's charity pick, in fairness, wasn't much better. He had the Ibiza versus Ibar game and predicted an away win for Ibar. Ibiza won this game, from what I hear, pretty comfortably. It ended up a 2-0 scoreline, but I believe they had a couple of goals disallowed in the first half.
Yes. 2-0 up at halftime.
So no charity win this week, but we did win a rather large charity bet last week, so I feel we can let ourselves off for that one and get back to winning ways after the break this week. Talking about the break, those that are listening to us on normal podcast channels will get a short advert. Whereas those that are members of the Trample Bet Club on Patreon can hear the middle section, where the three of us will just continue talking about things we like for the weekend coming up that didn't make the main picks of the show. A couple of other sports in there, anything that we fancy. Also on Patreon, you get this as an early release, so you'll get the video podcast, you'll see the Zoom call, get to see all three of us. Jerome in his excellent Crystal Palace gear ahead of this weekend. Just repping the Palace.
Ready for it.
Come on, boys.
He is ready.
To Wembley. I'm there.
Fantastic.
Went to the club shop today and bought a shirt for the game.
Wonderful. Oh, that's man, I'm excited for you. So if you're on Patreon, you'll get to see that early release. You also get the cheat sheet. So that's all the picks written down in a handy cheat sheet format. And also, all our extra content. It was a busy week last week with the Masters, the Grand National, and the start of the Major League Baseball season. And both Gordon and I did pretty well at the Masters. So I had Shane Lowry each way at 50-1, and he finished tied third. So that was profit right across the board for me. That made up for the other three picks doing nothing.
Corners for me, 50-1. He was sixth or something. All my guys made the cut, which was quite nice.
Yeah, a bit of interest for the weekend.
Bit of interest for the rest of the weekend. However, one thing to point out is that Tyrrell Hatton decided to have the two worst rounds of golf of his life for the remaining two rounds.
What did the winner go off at?
50s, I think, that Scottie Scheffler was not.
Scheffler's one of the favourites.
Was he?
He was. He'd be under. Oh, yeah, he's won three tournaments already this year.
Sorry, do you know what I was getting that mixed up with? The winner of the National. See, when you asked, what did the winner go for that?
All right, yeah, 50s. Yeah.
What, threes, fours, fives?
No, Masters. We're around 16s or something, 16 or 18 to one, the winner of the Masters. So, it's such a highly competitive event, and so much can go wrong on that back nine. Yeah. He four-putted the last and still won. I thought that was wonderful. But yes, you get all that extra stuff. And Santini, for me, placed in the Grand National. I've been talking about him in the middle section for weeks. So delighted that he got around the national course and finished in the places. I think he was 50 again when I originally backed him in the Grand National. So very happy with that. And Bet365's wonderful each offer that essentially meant you got the each way part of your bet for free. So again, huge profit. So join us over in Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/tramplebet. Download or download the Patreon app, search Trample Bet, and it's about £6 a month or something to join us and get all that extra content, all the extra features. And the middle section of the show that's about to happen now. Everyone else, we shall see you after the break.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the show, and now on to this week's picks, the moment we've all been waiting for the weekend of Saturday, April 16th, 2022. We're joined this week, as we've said already, by Jerome. Hey, Jerome.
Hi, guys.
And myself and Gordo, as usual, running you through the bankers, the value bets, the outsiders, and then our charity treble for the week ahead. So I shall start us off with the banker bet, which may also be chronologically the first bet of the weekend, because it's Friday at 5 p.m. in the Danish Superliga. The league has split there, and this match, Nordjylland versus Sønderjyske, is in the relegation group of the Danish Superliga. So there's not long left now, having had the split, and Nordjylland have a four-point cushion above second last Vejle. The bottom two teams get relegated here, so they're being really keen to keep that gap ahead of the bottom two. Sønderjyske dead last, and they're 8 points behind Nordjylland. So this is a game that the home side will know if they win. They extend that gap against dead last, they probably extend the gap against second last, or at least keep it at 4 points. So it's really, really important for them to get a win. Head-to-head wise, they've played three times since the beginning of 2021. Nordjylland have won twice, and there's been one draw. When considering this matchup, when Nordjylland are the home team, you have to go back to 2016 for the last time Sønderjyske managed to win here. Since then, they've met six times, four Nordjylland wins, two draws. It should also be noted that Sønderjyske this season are just absolutely dreadful away from home. They've played a total of 12 away games in the Superliga, and they've only managed 3 points out of those 12 games. So out of possible 36, they've managed 3 points. They're bad on the road. So for all of these reasons, I think it's a decent banker shout that Nordjylland do not lose this game. So that's a double chance bet on Nordjylland win or the draw. And that's 2-7, which I think is pretty generous.
History's on your side.
Yeah, history's on my side. Form's on my side. This season's home-away platoon splits are on my side. It should be fine. I fully expect Nordjylland to win this game. But again, I'm taking the double chances. It's a banker, and I think 2-7 is good enough odds.
I'll take us to my banker this week, which is the same as it's been. I checked 7 previous times this has came in for me. This is Dortmund are playing at Wolfsburg. Dortmund versus Wolfsburg at Dortmund. A first half goal here is 1-4 on 365, but 1-3, 2-7 in various other places. You don't need to tell me. I'm just going to pass to Jerome. I can add nothing to this. It's just coming in.
I am sat here shaking my head because I just can't believe it's still 2-7. It happens every fucking week.
Yeah.
Right. So like 2-7, you're like, oh, that should probably, you know, only happen 3 out of every 4 times.
Does anyone want that to stop? I'll put $700 on this Saturday and it'll stop. I promise you.
Don't stop it. I'm just saying for the odds, because you continually get around 1-3 for this. 2-7, 1-4. And it just always comes in. It's wonderful.
They probably just can't be bothered to change the press. That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's it. There's only 100x bets getting put on it a week. You know, if people are banking, it's just us. It's like, why are they all in like the UK clustered? Like, this is weird. No one's backing this in Germany.
And some guy in Michigan.
But yeah, so Dortmund Wilksburg.
Love it.
Over 0.5. Jerome, what have you got?
Okay, so the more I look at this, the more I'm like, how do I actually call this a banker? But I just feel like no matter what, Man United at home to Norwich. Do you know what? Oh. It's 1-4. I know.
I say that because I just got stung by them last week in a game I thought they couldn't lose to Everton, right?
But Burnley have scored 8 goals away all season and they've conceded 32. I just think Man United, if you want a game to turn around your form, that
Norwich
has to be
the one.
Yeah.
That has to, like, you just want to follow Norwich against them. Like, same way how Gordon's like, let me every first week, Dortmund, they're going to score. You have to feel that Norwich are going to get battered away from home.
Yeah. I think you're right. I'm just wary because of last week and how shit they were. And Ronaldo trying to spark out some Everton fan's phone halfway through the game.
But I can't name one player in Norwich's team that is of Premier League quality. I cannot name one that if they get relegated, someone goes, oh, I'm going to buy that player. They don't.
Or would they be worried that, oh shit, if we get relegated, we're going to lose all our star players? No, they'll probably
stay. Because no one would want them. Like,
you've seen them in the Premier League. We know how it wraps.
No one would want them. Love it. I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying.
No, but can we say it's the weirdest banker, I think, in a while? I think it just sounds weird. You're doubting Man United at home to Norwich. That shows how far they've fallen.
Yeah.
Yep.
At 1-4.
At 1-4, exactly. Oh, well, yeah. Banker treble then. I'm sure we'll be slightly better odds than last week, actually.
Have a guess what the banker treble is.
About evens.
Yeah, 0.99-1.
Ah, there we go.
It's as close as you can get to evens, right? Bet365 telling me it's exactly evens. So 0.99-1. It's, for all intents and purposes, it's even money for the banker treble, and I think it's got a pretty good shout of coming in. On to the value picks then. We had a poor value week last week, so let's try and redeem ourselves this week. Let's keep the bankers rolling because, you know, we're really good at that. And let's turn the form around here with the value picks. I'm in the Japanese J League on Sunday at 7 a.m. for Kashima Antlers versus Nagoya Grampus 8. And the home win for Kashima here is just under even money at 10-11. So they took a tough loss last week against Yokohama F. Marinos. The game, as we said earlier, finally poised in 0-0 until after 80 minutes. And then Yokohama just ran out 3-0 winners. I'm certain the Antlers will be challenging for the title this year. And that's backed up by the fact that this was only their second loss. So their two losses this year have come to Kawasaki Frontale and Yokohama F. Marinos, who will be the other two teams challenging for the title. They've won their other 6 games. So they've played 8 games. They've lost those two to title favourites. And they've won all the other games that they've played. Nagoya, the away side here, they've struggled a bit so far this campaign. They've taken 8 points from 7 matches. But they've really struggled on the road now. Okay, I say they've really struggled on the road. They've got 0 points away from home. They have only played 2 of their 7 games away from home, albeit they've lost them both, though. Form-wise, despite the loss for Kashima at the weekend, they're still top of that league's 5-game form table with 12 points from their last possible 15. Nagoya, 14th in the form table. They've only taken 4 points from the last 5 games. It's a good spot for the Antlers to bounce back at home to a very mediocre Nagoya team. Around even money's good. Take it.
Shall.
I definitely have got into Japan since like this podcast. I love it's so random how you can just go to this corner of the world and the bookies don't understand the odds. As I said earlier, you can bet a fourfold, £15, and it goes up to like 250, and the team should win.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that anywhere else.
Yeah, it's obviously not a league that's. The time difference being in our back the way helps us, I think, in people not following it or understanding it, or the bookies not putting that much effort. The fact these games are on at 7 in the morning and things, 11 a.m. on a Friday and things like that, it's probably not as well understood as, you know, the MLS or something like that, where the time difference is the other way around and people are watching them late at night. So anyway, Kashima will be a good thing for a long time this season, especially if you can get them around even money against a team that's going to finish mid-table. So I really like this one.
Ooh. I've personally got my first Japanese team on my band list, and that's Urawa Red Diamonds.
They've been on mind, you know, for about, I don't know, 6 months, maybe a year, right?
Oh, longer. Yeah. They are
Andy,
notorious.
How much did they cost me in the past 2 weeks? Urawa Red Diamonds.
Hundreds. Literally.
Yes, they did. So
hundreds.
They are banned.
They are banned. But as you ban them, you know, just let me tell you what happens. You ban them, right? And then they go pump some team 5-0. They go next week, they win 6-0. You go, fuck, they're over it. Then they go play some a team of Japanese guys who are, you know, they might play in the cup in the first round and lose 5-0 to just some punters that they're there. And, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just who they are.
They're notoriously unreliable, the Urawa Red Diamonds. They can be wonderful on their day and pull off like the best results against the league leaders. And then the next week when they're playing someone they should win, they can beat 1-0. And they've been doing it consistently for a good few years. Doesn't mean you should necessarily always write them off. You can sometimes find a decent spot for them at big odds. Yep. But I wouldn't be laying any faith or trust in them.
No. And I just love the fact, I think they've got the best flags on Flash Score going, the Japanese league.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do.
Best mascots as well.
There's a whole bunch in there. But yeah, so I'm going to take his value away from Japan, but to Portugal this week. The last game of will be 11 of 12 when this kicks off, and hopefully this will be 12 of 12. This is Sporting versus Benfica, and I'm going to be taking a home win for Sporting at over even money, 12 to 11. Bookies have it 12 to 11 on every bookie, so they're clearly had a discussion about this one because there's no price difference anywhere. Sporting are in second place and Benfica are in third. There's 5 games to go. There is 11 points between them. Now, Benfica and Sporting are not in danger, but Sporting and Porto, there's 6 points between second and first place. So there's still a realistic chance that they can catch FC Porto. Benfica have to go to Liverpool tonight and play. It's not going to be an easy game for them. They're going to be tired. Sporting have got a better record against them in the last 2 games they've played. Away at Benfica, they beat them 2-1 and 3-1 the last time they played. You know, Sporting's home record has been pretty good in their last few games. You know, they beat Ferreira, they beat Arouca. They did lose to Porto in there, but they beat Estoril, and they may have lost to Man City, but there's no shame in that. You know, they're a good team. Benfica's away form, they lost to Braga away recently. They drew with Boa Vista. They've lost some games in there against Porto and against some other clubs in there. I just think Sporting are going to be in a better place for this game than Benfica are. I'd hate to have to go and play against Liverpool and then go play a team at the top of the table beside them. They'll be knackered. And this is what I think what happened to Atletico Madrid last week. You know, Atletico Madrid had to play against City and they sat in. They didn't have any shots on target. They just held in, and they were knackered for when they had to play against Mallorca. So hopefully the same happens this week. Sporting are 12 to 11 at home, and Jerome, what have you got?
Hopefully that theme continues. Teams playing in Europe and then being tired.
That's
what we need.
That's what we're looking for this weekend.
Chelsea deed. That's what we need.
That's what we need. We want the deed. So what have you got for value then?
Okay, so if I told you this team at home has won 11 of their last 12, you're like, where do I sign up, right?
Yeah.
And that is Mansfield at home to Sutton at 9 to 10 on Saturday, 3 o'clock, playing against Sutton, who in their last 5 away games have only won 1. And that was against Oldham. They cannot beat anyone. And Mansfield have beaten all the top teams at home as well. So I just feel like I would go banker, but I just feel it's too big a price for banker. So that's why I've gone for Man United. But Mansfield, I can't see how they don't win that game. They're in the hunt for the automatics. They've got a game in hand. So this game takes them into third, into the automatic places, which so they definitely like will need to do that. And they've got goal scorers on fire. They score lots of goals, don't concede many. Tight at the back, very strong up front, and they always they get it done early. That's what we like. So bet 365 win first half done.
I think it's good. I mean, Sutton's away form's not great either. They've taken 23 points from 20 games. That puts them 13th in their away form overall. And Mansfield's home form, they take 42 points from 19 games.
Yes.
They're pretty damn good. So I think it's a good Mansfield, pick in there.
In the form guide, the last 20, they're top of the form guide, last 20. So I just don't... I know Sutton are high up, but their away form is just... It doesn't compare.
They're getting in on home form, not away form, aren't they? But yeah, cool. So, Andy, do we have the maths for...
6.47. There you go. That's to one. 6.47 to one. Or seven,
see if you stuck that in. 6.47 to three.
Well, no, just in case anyone thought I was reading the decimal odds there. So the decimal odds would be 7.47, but 6.47 to one. Pretty good. 6.5 to one for the value treble this week. And I think it's got a decent shot. On to the outsiders, where we look for those spicy odds, as Gordo and Joy would say. where we find something that the bookies have priced up as an outsider that we think has a decent shot at coming in. My outsider Sunday, 9 a.m. in the Japanese J League for Avispa Fukuoka versus Cerezo Osaka. You'll know from last week they came in as my charity bet when I took the under 2.5 goal line in the Avispa Fukuoka game. They just keep games really, really tight, and they have been very good at doing this, especially when it comes to them being at home in the league. They have played 4 home games in the league this season. Jerome, how many goals in total have been scored across those 4 home games? Just a guess. In total, so them and the teams they're playing, they've played 4 games at home.
6.
3. There have been 3 goals.
Well.
Right, so they keep it tight and they don't score. I think their main game plan is if they can keep it 0-0 to around the 85th minute, they can then go all out and try and grab a winner. And if they've only managed to concede the 1 through 85 minutes, then go all out for the last 5 minutes and try and get an equaliser.
You would not want to be a fan of that team.
Oh, God, fuck. What a team to follow, that would be.
It would be reasonably turgid. So, those 3 goals. So, where they've come from, a 1-0 loss to the Kashima Antlers, who are a good team. So
no shame in that.
1-0 loss. 0-0 draws against Sagan, Tosu and Sapporo. So they will be teams that are down in the bottom quartile of the league. We just drew them 0-0. And they had a 1-1 draw with newly promoted Jubilo Iwata. So 1 loss and 3 draws for those 3 goals across 4 games. I expect them to have exactly the same game plan when they play Cerezo Osaka this weekend. Now, originally I thought Osaka might be a decent shout here at odds of 17-11 to get what I presume would end up a 1-0 win if they do go ahead and win it. But the last 2 head-to-head games against these teams, or the last 2 games that matter, because they've only played twice since 2016, and they were both last year, they ended a draw and also an Avispa Fukuoka win by a 1-goal margin. So I really like the odds in a draw here because they're much better. They're 12-5, so almost 2.5-1 for a draw here in a game that probably will end 0-0. Probably.
Is that... You know, a very, very, I was going to say best pick of the week, but that generally kills whatever pick that is. So
yeah, don't say it.
So what I'm just going to say is I think it's a good pick, and I like the draw here because they are so uninterested in football. Maybe they should pick another sport. Like, they're not really that interested in anything happening. Volleyball. Well,
so if you think of football, right, the game that we know and love and do a podcast about every week, is the equivalent of snooker. Mm-hmm. Avispa Fukuoka tend to be playing billiards, like as in it's the same shaped table. There are no pockets. You can't put the ball in anything. You just kick it around and it ends 0-0.
So they just want to stay up in the league or draw a game. That's what they want to do.
They just want to, you know, make it. I think their main game plan is not get beat, and they're doing very, very well at that. Maybe it's
very
a case
attritional.
Maybe it's a case of if we sort this out and we don't get beat, we can then work on our attack once we've got the fundamentals of that right.
Yeah.
But while they're in this phase of just having on average less than a goal a game in total, more than happy to take a draw. So,
okay, I'll take you to Turkey for the most confusing game of football that can be played in Turkey. This is Alanyaspor versus Antalyaspor.
Make sure you click the right one.
Yeah, and I fancy the away team, so it's very key, the away team, Antalyaspor here, at what I think is the rather spicy odds of 9-4, 12-5, depending on where you take it. So there's reasoning for this. Antalyaspor have been great over their last five games. They've won five in a row. They beat Sivasspor, they beat Başakşehir, Giresunspor, Altay and Hatayspor. Those are all teams that are like all about the table. There's no, it's not as if they've beaten the four at the bottom and then one at the top. They've got an even spread in there. And they're still in the chase here, as are their opponents Alanyaspor.
opponents. Alanyaspor, Antalyaspor, opponents. Love it.
Antalyaspor, the team that I'm backing in this, the away team I'm backing here, are on 47 points and the home team are on 52. To get into the Europa League places, 53 points is the current mark, and that's been set by Başakşehir. So they're both are within 5 points of doing that, and there's enough games still to play there. I think Antalyaspor will get something out of this game, and I think they could win it. Alanyaspor lost to Besiktas the last week. They played 4-1. This was a kind of humbling loss where Mishi Batshuayi, who we know, scored in the second minute and then the 43rd minute to get two goals for him and his campaign over there. And Alanyaspor they were out of the game by half time. I'd love to see that happen again. And Antalyaspor's away form is pretty decent as well. They both lost recently to Trabzonspor. They're going to win the league comfortably. I'm going to take the away team in this fixture. So the key thing is the away team. Antalyaspor here at 9-4. And I think that's a good outsider in there. Jerome, do you want to talk about your outsider now? Because I sense that there's a bit of passion in it. So let be free.
I might like this team a little bit. And it happens to be, I'm going to be at this game, Wembley, 4:30. I'll be there a bit earlier than that, but it's Wembley, 4:30, Easter Sunday. So it's going to be the mighty Crystal Palace, 5-1 to beat Chelsea. That is me. That is my outsider this week.
And there's, do you have comment on it? Yeah, or is it just, it's happening?
It's okay. So in recent form, I must say, we don't fare well against Chelsea, but what better stage to change it? We're so exciting to watch. We play fast football, dribbling, loads of shots, crosses. Like, I just think we can do it. A tired Chelsea midweek had their hearts crushed by Benzema hangover from Europe. We take them 5-1 outsider. What a price.
I thought you were going for a correction. We take them 5-1. It's over at half time. No, I wish you well, because I look forward to if we beat
Chelsea 5-1. I don't know if I make it home that day, or I'm just in a gutter, just drunk.
Will you make it to the podcast next week? Because you'll still be out if you win at 5-1. That's the
if I have a voice, I'll be there. If we win 5-1, yeah.
Brilliant.
I will be there.
Well, I hope you really enjoy it. And I hope for the outsider Trixie or Treble or however you put it on, it comes good. As a Treble, those three picks return 65.3-1. So nice bit material. I'll be taking it as a Trixie, as I do every week. So we only need the meatloaf. Two out of three.
Mine is hand on heart, but as Palace fan since I was 8 years old, I cannot for an outsider say anything else. You have to understand that this week I can't do anything else.
Understood, Jerome, and best of luck.
Thanks, guys.
On to the charity picks. So this is where we put a tenner of our own money. Well, sorry, this is where we put a tenner of Gordo's money this week up on behalf of the podcast on a treble. Three picks, one from each of us. And if they all come in, all the returns we get go to a charity. And this week it'll be of Gordo's choosing. So
is a direct debit set up for Gordon.
It's straight in. There's no point. Occasionally Andy has to put it on, but it's a direct contribution from myself.
So the way, so you know, we'll tell you the secrets of the Trample Bet podcast here. The way we work it is, whoever lets the charity down has to back it the following week, unless there is, and it switches over if we both lose, or if we both win. So the only way that is that right, Gordo? If we both win, it switches over. Yeah.
If we both win and we both lose, if there's been a particularly bad loss in there, the person generally gets stuck with it. So I think I remember one when we both lost, but you lost narrowly and I lost like fucking 4-0. And I felt obliged to put it on. But yeah, so it is generally me. But hopefully next week it's all winners and it passes over naturally rather than a spiked pass.
With a contribution to charity and a passover to me. That's what we're hoping for. So my charity pick, Saturday at 1 p.m, which means I'm in the German third division, the Dritte Liga, for Hallescher versus Havelse. And the home win on Hallescher here is 7-10. So Hallescher are 14th, 5 points ahead of 17th placed Virl. And I mentioned them because that 17th spot is the final relegation spot. So they're 5 points in safety just now. Havelse are essentially dead last. They're second last, technically, but that's because Turgutsu München forfeited all their games after going insolvent in the middle of the season. So if you look at the league table, it says the bottom placed team has played 0 games and has 0 points, right? So Havelse are one step above that, but they're last of the 19 teams that are actually taking part in the league this year. They've only got 19 points. They're pretty much destined for relegation. So Hallescher have picked up 7 points from the last 5 games, whilst Havelse are bottom of the 5-game form table. They've only got 1 point from those last 5 games. They're just generally terrible, but not only are they bottom of the 5-game form table, they're also bottom of the away game table. They've picked up 9 points in total from their road games this season. The interesting thing is you compare that to the home side in this fixture, Hallescher, who have performed well above their league position at home. So they're 14th in the league, but if you look at only home games, they'd be 7th in that table. So they're a good home performing team against a team that are dead last in pretty much every category. It's a great spot for a home win at odds of 7-10.
Fine. Brit Liga, fine.
Right.
I'll take
Dordogne Spor. I am in
Scotland for Arbroathia Spor versus Queen of the Queen of the South Spor. So I'm going to take Arbroath at home to Queen of the South. These are two teams that are at polar opposites of the league. 3 games left, this being one of them. Arbroath are 4 points behind Kilmarnock for the automatic promotion place. They are still chasing that. Queen of the South are pretty much out. You know, there's between them and Dunfermline, which is not even the safe spot, that's you get a playoff spot. There's 6 points, you know, and between them and Ayr, they're already, you know, they're guaranteed to be either playing off or out is their option here. Are both in a much better team. Are both can't really be caught, you know, there's unlikely to be caught into the kind of playoff for the playoff kind of spot, but you know, I just think they're going to have enough to beat a Queen of the South team that have lost six on the spin, in of the last few games. Are both in a good result against Hamilton away from home at the weekend. They drew with Partick, they drew with their Wraith, and they beat Ayr over the last 4 games. I just think they're going to have enough to beat Queen of the South. Get them at 3-5 or 5-8 here. So that's the price I'll be taking. Jerome, round us off.
Okay. First off, I want to ask you a question about a player. Did you know that Rolando Ahrens was at Huddersfield?
No.
Do you remember who he is? He was like a wonder kid on Football Manager when he was at Newcastle. And he's been at Huddersfield for 2 years and played 7 games.
I did not know that. No, that's a
fun... pan out the way that the artificial intelligence had it.
No. I wonder what that's like, just nicking a living. What's he on, like 10, 12, 15K, just every week picking that up.
He played with Motherwell last year. So he put a couple of years ago. He came up to Motherwell, he played 6 games and he booked. He was meant to be one of these ones because he played with a couple of, like, he played with Newcastle a bit and then Verona and some other teams. But yeah, Huddersfield and yeah, he's played not much at all. So
And I thought that's still higher for him, but that is my charity. Huddersfield at home to QPR. QPR, like they were flying in the playoff places, but all of a sudden seems like they've just fallen off a cliff. They were in the playoffs and now they're 11th, no form whatsoever. It looks like their head's gone. The manager's about to leave at the end of the season, and Huddersfield just trying to hunt down Bournemouth with a few games less, but they're just running them down to try and get that last automatic, because the top of the championship, that these teams, they consistently win. Nottingham Forest, Sheffield United, Millwall, they're all chasing and they're all getting points every week. So you need to keep it up for the final push for the end. And I can't see Huddersfield losing at home to QPR.
QPR have been so bad recently. They've lost 7 of their last 8 and lost, like, if you look at them on Flash Score, they've got 2 wins and 2 draws and a whole bunch of L's for the rest of their games.
Like, it's like someone's just flipped the switch. Like, you can't win anymore. The doom switch.
Yeah, that's it.
Switch. Well, hopefully the doom switch stays depressed.
Yes.
And we get a Huddersfield win at the weekend. So the charity pick then, combined, will be 4.19 to 1 if you backed it right now at 365. So pretty good. Tenner into over 50 quid, and hopefully we'll be announcing that we are donating that to charity next week. That's the show. Do join us on Facebook. Search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook. Join the community there. There's a load of good stuff. Community of a couple of hundred members, almost 300, I think. Discussing their best bets for the weekend. A load of guys that know about a lot of different leagues and different sports. So come join us there. And if you fancy helping us out, we have a Patreon channel. So www.patreon.com/tramplebet, or download the Patreon app and search Trample Bet. £6 a month gets you access to a whole host of things, and it really helps us out. We really appreciate it. You guys that have already signed up, thank you so much for supporting the show. It helps us churn out this content every week. I think we've got some good picks there, gents. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, yeah, you're very welcome.
Good to see you from live from the gutter next week. So
have a wonderful weekend, Jerome. I really, yeah, enjoy really it. Hope.
Listen, if we win, you get voice notes on the lot. That is it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
I look
that's
forward for the patrons, to it,
mate. That's that. Can't wait.
If we lose, don't talk to me.
Yeah, don't.
Fantastic. Good luck. Thank you to everyone for listening. Have a great weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet Podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.